You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in on a Tuesday, Gym Class on the airwaves here at KGYM. 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. Streaming live at KGYMradio.com, also on the free KGYM app and on your smart speaker. Also in podcast form, if you missed anything from the Monday edition of the program or the Friday edition of the show or the January 12th, 2021 edition of the program, you can go to KGYMradio.com and find the podcast there. I'm not even sure what you guys talked about probably on January 12th of 2021, but I'm sure the podcast is up there at KGYMradio.com. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unesh here once again today. We actually might be hearing from Scott later on in the program today as he checks in from Des Moines. North Lynn a winner yesterday in the State Boys Basketball Tournament. Marion and Xavier playing today. Cedar Rapids Kennedy tomorrow. Scott will join us with the updates, the lowdown, the skinny, whatever you want to call it, coming up in about 40 minutes or so here on the program. Also, we're joined by Rob Gray, covers the Cyclones, the Iowa State Cyclones for the Gazette, Cedar Rapids Gazette, and get his thoughts on not only the win over Baylor, on the men's side, senior day for the Iowa State women, Ashley Jones getting the Big 12 Women's Basketball Player of the Year. We'll talk to Rob about that coming up here in about 25 minutes or so. Going to touch on hoops, maybe a little NFL, and more coming up here on the Tuesday edition of the program, which is brought to you by our friends at DuPaco Community Credit Union here at KGYM. Getting the thumbs up from Mark. I did not forget today on the show. Mark Dukes joining me here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. How's it going today?
Going well, Spencer. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. Isaac, how you doing? Looking forward to another day and night of conference tournament action. And checking in with Scott. See what's going on at the state tournament and much more. I mean, news in football, news in all over the place.
We have some daytime basketball going on. Mentioned this, and this is it's common knowledge. The first couple days of the tournaments, the conference tournaments are not the best basketball being played, not the highest quality of teams involved because it's largely the first round. The 11 versus the 14 seed and whatnot. So not the best teams in action this afternoon. I mentioned 4-27 Louisville is going to be playing here coming up in about 30 to 40 minutes or so in Greensboro as they play Boston College. But there is some daytime basketball today. Got, four bids being handed out tonight in the tourney field. As we get closer and closer to that bracket reveal coming up on Sunday, late afternoon and into the early evening, we had two bids handed out last night, and we've got two games for people to enjoy as we kick off our championship week coverage here tonight, courtesy of Westwood One on the airwaves tonight, right here on KGYM.
Yeah, I want to check out this Colonial, final. Charleston is at 30-3. Lost two games in the league and in the second game of the year to North Carolina. How good are they? I don't know. They're only the number two seed in the league because it lost to Hofstra. But those two teams, far and away, the best in the league. But it is UNC Wilmington that is the opponent tonight.
Yeah, the Seahawks. I believe not the Seattle Seahawks. Speaking of the NFL, but the Seahawks are the opponent tonight. Charleston at 30-3, and you look at Joe Lenardi's bracketology. He has them as one of the next four out of the field. So even if they were to lose to UNC Wilmington, they are under some consideration for the tournament. Now, not on the bubble per se, but. Stranger things have happened.
Well, Charleston's net is similar to Drake. It's 51.
Right.
So not great.
Out of conference, you mentioned the loss to North Carolina. They beat Virginia Tech. You know, not too much on the resume there. They'd be Chattanooga, who played in the SoCon championship last night, but lost. So not too many wins to help them out here. But be interested to see if Charleston does get a nod. But I think they're going to beat Wilmington. They seem like a pretty good basketball team. So that's one to watch tonight. That's the first game. We'll have that for you at 6 tonight here in KGYM. And then the West Coast Conference. Always fun when Gonzaga and St. Mary's
absolutely
get together. That's a top 20 matchup. Number 9, Gonzaga. Number 16, St. Mary's. That's at 8 tonight. And both teams in the tournament. I don't think there's any question that, you know, both teams will get in, but one team is going to get the auto bid. And Gonzaga, St. Mary's, that rivalry continues. Absolutely. So that's tonight at 8. We'll probably join it in progress, just considering how sometimes the first game and the post-game show spills over into the second contest. But championship week coverage starting up here as we get into this full week of basketball. I talked about this, Mark, on Spencer on Sports, but kind of interesting to see the bracketology from Joe Lunardi. Mm-hmm. Charlie Cream, and we were talking about this before the show, nothing's really changed when it comes to where he has Iowa and Iowa State on the women's side of things. We'll talk about that momentarily, but Joe Lunardi's made some pretty significant changes to at least where he thinks the Big Ten bubble teams might see themselves. Again, this is just kind of a snapshot in time, but if the season ended today, he's made a few changes since we last saw an update, which was Sunday night into early Monday morning. Currently has Penn State fairly solidly in the field, the last team with a bye, so meaning they avoid Dayton, has Rutgers as the second to last team in the field, which is, I mean, you consider Rutgers, and they were battling for, you know, they were in second place in the Big Ten.
Well, the interesting thing about Rutgers is that the committee has decided not to consider its loss to Ohio State when the Big Ten admitted Ohio State shouldn't have won that game based on a referee's call.
Yeah, and that was all the way back in December, was it not? So that's interesting. That loss at then number 25 Ohio State, coming off a win against Indiana, and at one point in the year, Rutgers was what, 6-3 in league play, 8-4 in league play. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That was after they beat Michigan State on February 4th, but just two wins since then, winning at Wisconsin, winning at Penn State, losing to Minnesota on the buzzer beater, losing to Northwestern to close it out. So Rutgers, the second to last team in the field, the last team in the field. I talked about this last hour too. The Nevada Wolfpack, coached by Steve Alford, they've suffered some bad losses down the stretch. Mm. He has Wisconsin. Joe Lunardi has Wisconsin out. Not the first one out, but the second team out of the field. And he has Michigan even further back than Wisconsin. So makes you kind of wonder, we're going to see Rutgers and Michigan play on Thursday, first game of the day in the Big Ten tournament. Is the winner of that game in and the loser out? I think so, just based on what we're seeing from Joe Lunardi.
Could very well be. Lunardi has 10 Big Ten teams in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Other conferences, the SEC, he has 8, the Big 12 with 7, and then the ACC and Big East with 5 apiece. The Pac-12, only 3.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Big Ten tournament begins tomorrow, late afternoon, 5:30, Ohio State and Wisconsin. Impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Because the winner plays Iowa. That is the subject of our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Which team would you rather see Iowa face in Chicago? Ohio State or Wisconsin? And as you pointed out yesterday, Spencer, Iowa's total record against these two teams is not good.
1-3.
Yeah.
They were swept by Wisconsin, split with Ohio State, of course, lost in Columbus. That was Ohio State's only win for quite some time there, until they won a couple toward the end of the season. But it's going to be an interesting matchup regardless, because Wisconsin, they like to slow that game down. They want to play their pace, play it in the half court. And Iowa just, I mean, they got down big in the first meeting against the Badgers in Iowa City, rallied back. Of course, Chris Murray did not play in that game. Rallied back, lost in overtime. The second meeting in Madison, and we thought, okay, maybe it might be a different game because Chris Murray was in the lineup. Really wasn't much of a factor. Wisconsin ended up pulling away in that one. That was a road game, one of those games where Iowa just shot terrible from the field, terrible from beyond the three-point arc, and that cost him that game. And one of those, along with the two losses to Nebraska and, of course, the Eastern Illinois loss, that just sticks out when you talk about how this Iowa basketball team has ebbed and flowed this season. Stick out like a sore thumb. Win those games, even split. Yeah, you know, split's better than 0-2, you know, in the very basic terms. You're looking at maybe a better seed and guaranteed a better seed if you just take care of business even on your home floor, and Iowa not able to do that.
Yeah, the deal is in conference tournaments that by and large there's no home court advantage.
Right.
This is in Chicago. Which team will, you know, attract the most fans? We saw in the women's tournament, Iowa fans turned out in droves, and they set a Big Ten record for single season or single session attendance at 9,500. That can go good or bad.
Right.
Some teams play better at home. Some are okay away.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, by and large, there's some conference tournaments they play on a home court, but not in the Big Ten.
Yeah, neutral site, Chicago, back in Chicago for the first time in you know, handful of years. It's usually in Indianapolis, so you know, you might get a partisan Purdue or Hoosier crowd in Indy, like it was last season. But you get Chicago. Who's the home team? Northwestern, technically. I mean, you know, Illinois could lay claim. Even Iowa could lay claim with a number of, you know, how many, you know, University of Iowa alums and students come from Chicagoland, Chicago suburbs area. So, you know, yeah, really no home field advantage or home court advantage, excuse me, there. But, boy, Wisconsin or Ohio State, which team would you like to face, or would you rather see Iowa face in Chicago? I see a number, or a couple of votes on the text line at 319-366-1600 saying Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I feel like, boy, which team is more, are either of these teams, is one team more beatable than the other? I feel like Wisconsin is, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, Ohio State is playing better, I think, than Wisconsin down the stretch here. But at the same time, Wisconsin, I mean, they beat Minnesota in their final game. They were supposed to beat Minnesota. They played Purdue tough. That was at the Kohl Center. I don't know. For me, it's a horse apiece. I would say Wisconsin, just considering Iowa probably should have won that game in Iowa City. I think if Chris Murray's healthy, plays in that game, they win that game.
Strange to say, but I think Ohio State is a more talented team.
Yeah.
It's been so underachieving.
Yes.
5-15 in the league. Wisconsin was 9-11. So a four-game difference there. But you mentioned Ohio State late in the year. You know, To beat Illinois, to beat Maryland, give Michigan State a tough game on the road. I think I'd rather play Wisconsin, too.
Yeah, you're right. Wisconsin definitely underachieved this year. I mean, usually you're talking about a Badger team that peaks down the stretch. Aside from the Iowa, I mean, they beat Michigan. They beat Penn State in overtime, but it was such an up-and-down team, you know. You never know what you're going to get any given night. And you know, I think they're still trying to figure some things out with some of the younger guys still trying to mesh. You'd think they would have done that a little bit more. But early in the year, they were a pretty good team. They were 3-0 in the Big Ten. And then they just hit a major skid this year. Their best win of the season over Marquette, who is probably going to be a top two seed in the Big Ten, or in the NCAA tournament, pardon me. going forward. Meanwhile, Ohio State, I'd put their two wins on. Granted, they were at home. They weren't road wins, but beat Illinois, beat Maryland. I put wins over Illinois and Maryland into a higher category than wins over Penn State, Michigan, and Minnesota.
Yeah, Bryce Sensabaugh is such a dangerous player for Ohio State. He's on the all-freshman team today the Big Ten. And you got Suing and Key and Thornton and others.
Isaac Likely was really good. Yeah,
I just think it's a more talented Ohio State team that hasn't lived up to expectations.
319-366-1600, talking about our poll question. Which team would you rather see Iowa face in Chicago, the Badgers or the Buckeyes? You can vote at KGYMRadio.com, or you can weigh in on the text line at 319-366-1600. You mentioned those honors, Mark. No surprise to see Chris Murray, first team All Big Ten honoree. Kind of surprised he wasn't. He was not unanimous by the coaches, which I was kind of surprised at. He was a unanimous distinction by the media, but not unanimous by the coaches.
Yeah, there were some differences between the media and coaches' teams.
Kind of surprised at that. But Chris Murray, first-team All-Big Ten honoree. Philip Rabracha, a third-team pick by the media. Honorable mention by the coaches. Connor McCaffrey and Tony Perkins, also honorable mention selections. And then Peyton Sanford, the conference sixth man of the year. And I think all the attention will be Chris Murray, obviously, or in most circles. But Peyton Sanford, considering how he started Big Ten play, what was it, like 1 of 19 or so? I don't remember the stat off the top of my head, but to go from that to the sixth man of the year is pretty big for him and a big shot of confidence going into postseason play, but also going into next season for Peyton in the Iowa basketball program, for sure.
No question about it. And a nice nod to Patrick McCaffrey. He gets the Sportsmanship Award for the second straight year, I believe. And I'm not big on sportsmanship awards, but I think it's growing more and more important these days. And I don't know how you judge it. I really don't.
I think every team gets one person, right?
I think
all 14, which, I mean, it's not to, like, diminish the award. I agree with you. I think it's important to recognize the players who are good sports, but how specifically is that recognized? I don't know, but it's good for Pat, though.
Yeah, you're right. Each team gets a member on that team, the sportsmanship. Chris Collins, Coach of the Year. We debated that at one time, and I think rightfully so. Zach Edey, the Player of the Year. No big surprise there. All freshman team. Jalen Hood, Schifano, Jed Howard, Bryce Sensabaugh, Braden Smith, and Connor Asigian. That's a pretty good team.
That is. Holy cow. Schifino alone, I mean, he's a fantastic basketball player. Asigian came on late in the year for the Badgers, was instrumental in some of their wins and losses this year. Sensabaugh especially, too. That's a darn good team. And Coach of the Year, I think we all agreed Big Ten Coach of the Year is probably going to go to Chris Collins regardless. But there were some names that could have won it. But I think in the end, considering where Northwestern was and now all but clinched our second ever berth in the NCAA tournament, I think that's the right choice for sure.
First team All Conference. There are a little bit of differences. Trace Jackson Davis on both the coaches and media, as well as Chris Murray, Jalen Pickett, and Zach Edey. The difference is Terrence Shannon in for the coaches. Boo Booey and Hunter Dickinson in on the media team.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That there are some differences. I guess I never really understood why the Big Ten splits the vote. I get it, but at the same time, I don't. How's that for a cop out?
Each group has its prejudices.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
It's true.
Yeah.
But I think some of them are, no-brainers. Like, you're not going to –
right.
The coaches aren't going to be like, we want Zach Edey as the Player of the Year, and then the media is not going to vote for somebody completely different, But I don't know. Seems kind of interesting. some of their choices. But Chris Murray, first team All Big Ten honoree. Chris also, hope I'm not spoiling the email scoreboard, which is coming up here momentarily, but also a third team All America by Sporting News. So starting to be the award season here.
It is
postseason awards here for 2023. Speaking of hoops, by the way, Mark, I want to remind folks once again that the Bracket Challenge going to be back here very soon. You don't have a bracket to fill out yet, but once it is, you could put your bracket, your best bracket out there, best bracket forward, I guess, if you want to call it that or term it that, and you could vote in the You can vote on your bracket if you want. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, but you can enter the I'm on Bracket Challenge. Full details on our website at kgymradio.com. If you are the person with the best bracket, you get $500 from our friends at I'm on. And bracket will be up Sunday evening after the bracket is announced. You can fill it out and then watch along and hope you do well. And like I said, if you are the lucky best bracketer out there, you will get that $500 cash prize, which is
pretty
cool.
And a lot of kudos from us.
Yes, yes, because I was not good last year. I did not do well.
Have you ever done well in a bracket?
I did. My peak was, and this is, number one, shows you how long I've been filling out brackets, but number two, shows you how long I've been terrible at it. What was it, 2006, when Ohio State played Florida? In the championship game, I got that. I think I got one Final Four team wrong. I got the championship game right, but I picked the wrong team. I think I picked. Oh, did I pick Ohio State or did I? I don't remember. It was so long ago. But that was my high watermark when I was 16 years old, and now here I am in 2023, and I cannot pick anything for the life of me.
Are you a one sheet guy?
I do several I mean, I do one official picks bracket, but I do several brackets just for fun. I do each year the Flip a Coin Bracket Spectacular, which I need to bring back. And the I flip a coin or you can just pick at random. And some years it's just god awful, and other years it actually is pretty close. And I feel like with how much parity there is in college hoops this year, the coin may be more accurate than my actual picks.
I'm usually pretty bad at this, although I did win the office pool in 86.
In 86, all right.
86, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
That was Louisville.
Okay, yeah.
I rode Louisville to the championship and came through under Danny Crum, and that's the only time I've ever won it.
Wow.
And I'm a one-sheet guy.
You're a one-sheet guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one official bracket, but I've got all the side ones, so I guess I'm technically not a one-sheet guy, but I have one official these-are-my-picks bracket, and then the side ones. I don't do, like, a mascot bracket. I don't do, like, a pretty colors bracket. Like, I don't do that kind of stuff, but best mascot bracket would actually be kind of fun. But I feel like teams with, like, a dragon would always win, because what beats a dragon? Nothing. I don't know. This is a conversation for later on down the road. We've got Rob Gray from the Gazette coming up. He'll talk some Cyclone Athletics with us in just a moment. Hoping to be joined by Scott Unash coming up before top of the hour as well from Des Moines. Talk some high school basketball with him. Before we get to all that, let's bring folks an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update.
Lorenzo Cain has announced his retirement.
Lo Cain!
He spent most of his career with Kansas City. Really liked him. I thought he was a terrific player. Did you play in Milwaukee for a little bit?
He did. He was brought in 2018 with Christian Yelich, the two big free agent signings. Obviously, Yelich still there. Cain was released after he hit a service marker so many years, 10 years of service last year. He was dealing with back issues and leg issues and stuff. So he had lost his effectiveness as a hitter and a fielder, but
really nice player.
Absolutely drafted by the Brewers, went to KC, won a title, and then came back to Milwaukee. So,
second on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, the Iowa Prince Sports Writers have released their All-State teams and have named Audie Crooks of Algona Garrigan, the Iowa State recruit, as Iowa's Miss Basketball.
No surprise.
Not really. And finally, Brad Smith has announced his retirement as wrestling coach at Lisbon.
Okay.
Two tours at Lisbon, one at City High, won over 700 dual meets, multiple state championships, multiple individual champions, one of the best in the business.
Very good. Congratulations on a great career to Brad. 3:29, we'll take a quick timeout. Back with Rob Gray from the Gazette, talking some Cyclones on the way in just a bit. It's the Gym Class brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we're going to have a mix of sun and clouds this afternoon with temperatures in the 40s and breezy conditions. Later on tonight, there's a chance we could see some light snow showers or flurries around as we head through the overnight hours, but otherwise, it'll just be cool with temperatures in the low 30s. Tomorrow will be cloudy with temperatures in the 40s once again, and then we have a higher chance of seeing snowfall and accumulation at that Thursday into early Friday. That's your latest Iowa News Now Weather First forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Celebrate the resiliency of sexual and domestic abuse survivors and attend Riverview Center's Luncheon of Light, April 21st at the hotel at Kirkwood Center, featuring keynote speaker, Olympic gold medalist and survivor, Allie Raisman. Space is limited. Reserve your spot today.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
The bank here is now the bank here, here, and here. Fairfax State Savings Bank has a new third location in the heart of Kingston Village in Cedar Rapids. This new location, focused on commercial and private lending, demonstrates Fairfax State Savings Bank's dedication to growing alongside you in the corridor. Fairfax State Savings Bank, in Fairfax, Amana, and now by appointment for commercial and private lending in Cedar Rapids at their new Kingston office, Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit mfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Keep your pup happy and healthy with Menards. Greenies Dental Dog Treats help prevent gum disease, fresh in breath, and are fortified with vitamins and minerals to ensure balanced nutrition. Greenies Dental Dog Treats are proudly made in the USA, accepted by the Veterinary Oral Health Council. And right now, Greenies Dental Dog Treats are 11% off. Good through March 12th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
You could win $500 in the I'm On Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at kgymradio.com. I'm On Communications, your local choice for internet, TV, and phone.
Back at 3:32 on the Gym Class here on a Tuesday afternoon. Spencer in for Scott, along with Mark Dukes here on this March 7th afternoon with you till 4 o'clock. Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way between 4 and 6. Rob Gray from the Gazette joining us here momentarily. How about this for a segue? This literally just popped up on Twitter. Since we're talking Cyclones, the Milwaukee Bucks have signed Lindell Wigginton, former Cyclone, to a two-way contract. So there is a perfect segue into our next guest, Mr. Rob Gray. We'll talk some Cyclone basketball with him as we get closer and closer to the Big 12 tournament. Both Cyclone teams in action taking on Baylor. Men will play Baylor. Women will also play Baylor on Friday night, so the Iowa State Baylor Bonanza tournament continues in Kansas City. Rob, thanks for the time. How are you today?
Doing great. Good to join you guys.
So let's rewind to this past weekend, a win I will fully admit I don't think I saw coming going into Waco and handling a really good Baylor team. What was your takeaways from that victory for the Cyclones on the men's side on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, virtually no one saw that coming, given the embattled state of the program. You know, T.J. Otzelberger was got a strong, continues to have an extremely strong bond. Caleb Brill having dismissed him from the team for not living up to the program standards. And they did all the things that they claim were important to them against Baylor and dominated that game from start to finish. Baylor made a little push, cut it to four early in the second half, and they just immediately, thanks to Gabe butt shots from Gabe Gausser, got it right up to double digits and kept the foot on the gas from there. So, I mean, you know, Vegas didn't see it coming. Most people wouldn't expect it to come, but I guess what this team's shown, whether it was how great they were in non-conference last year, what a role they got on early in conference play this season before encountering some struggles. When they play the way that they want to play, they can be very tough to beat, and they certainly showed that in Waco.
In terms of Grill, Rob, it's kind of a moot point now, but one of our texters yesterday, we couldn't get to this, asked about that situation, and presuming that Grill said something, but has anything been reported in that regard?
No, I think they're staying pretty tight-lipped about that, and it could have been Caleb saying he feels like it was one thing. I think some people interpreted that as that, as if everything was, bunnies and rainbows up to that point. I mean, clearly he was battling the back issue, extreme pain. He touched on mental health, so he's going through probably some struggles that people can sort of relate to, but certainly they can't relate to what he's going through personally. So I think it was kind of a culmination of things. And yes, he might have had something he said maybe in practice or something. Again, that's just speculation on my point. It was like maybe a tipping point moment. But uncharacteristically, I think he just was doing some things that TJ and the staff thought were deleterious to the program. So they decided to cut him loose. I think it's interesting that he talked about how much he still loves Iowa State and will cheer for them forever. And TJ talked about how he's here for Caleb Brill forever, even helping him find another school and all that. So I think it's very amicable, but I think it's very surprising. I think it says a lot about TJ. If he's going to talk the talk, he's going to walk the walk. Long-winded way of saying I really don't know what was said, if anything. It could have been an action. But I think it clearly was things compounding on each other, reaching a point where it felt untenable to keep him on the roster.
Rob, you look at the state of the Cyclone men's program going into the Big 12 tournament this week, 18-12 overall, 9-9, certainly not the second half of the year I'm sure Cyclone fans were hoping to see, but still some very good wins on the resume. Some losses, I'm sure, that they'd like to have back, especially the home games to Oklahoma and West Virginia down the stretch. But certainly they are in the tournament field. What's your assessment of where this team stands as they get ready to open up Big 12 tournament play on Thursday against the Bears?
Well, obviously they had lost 6 of 7 before going and posting that big upset in Waco, that'll happen in the Big 12. I think I liken it. I say it's a little bit more like the NBA, where they're even the teams at the bottom of the conference are still loaded with talent, relatively speaking. So the way they lost some of those games, especially the second half of the season, letting leads slip, double-digit leads, sometimes 20-plus point leads slip. I don't want to say it's they're not concerned about it, but at the same time, I think the second half of the season, everyone knows how obviously it's going to play them this year, makes it that much harder to really do the things, turning them over, live ball turnovers, and turning those into points. Gets a little bit harder when the teams they're playing are that good and can turn the tables on them a little bit. So I think, I'll go back to the old cliche. If you told an Iowa State fan that they were going to have about as many top 10 wins as anybody in the country, maybe the most, that they were going to finish middle of the pack in the Big 12 instead of having to win a number in a row late last season to get in the tournament as 11 seed and probably safely be a 6 seed, regardless of overall record, I think they would have signed up for that in a minute with another rebuilt roster. So I think, say the program is good, but still, I mean, a lot, they can certainly improve their seeding if they can go and beat Baylor a third time to start Big 12 play and stack other big wins on top of that. But I don't think their resume is going to be hurt if they make an early exit either. So they're in a good spot to have at least a decent seed and stay out that 8-9 line, I would imagine.
good or bad to face Baylor so soon again?
I think it's, I guess I'll go to the old indifferent. I think it's, I think in some ways it's good because, you know, you don't have to come up with an entirely new game plan, although you're sure to see Baylor make some adjustments, probably try to be able to dictate tempo a little bit better because that's what Iowa State did. So I think it's just the fact that it's right away. I guess I don't think it's good or bad. I mean, it's not good to have to face a team as talented as Baylor, but at the same time, you got to go through teams like that anyway. They had a successful blueprint just a few days ago, and there's no reason they can't turn it into something successful in Kansas City as well.
Right, and Rob, as you pointed out, Iowa State pretty solidly in the field. Joe Lunardi has them even as a 5 in his latest bracketology update. So, like you alluded to in the previous question, this isn't a situation where the Cyclones need to go out and win the whole thing just to be considered for the NCAA tournament. It's that indifference you speak of probably comes from how the season has played out with the number of top 10 wins that you talked about and just the general solid resume that they have going into this spot, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just the fact that the number one or the top 10 wins, the quad one wins, I mean, their resume is borderline elite. So, I mean, now that they don't always factor in, it's not the old days where, they've lost 6 of 8. What if they lose another one? That's not a factor. Overall records, not a factor. It's you look at the good wins and bad losses. And Iowa State, even though, that you look at some of those games, hey, we shouldn't have lost that game, unquote, unquote, because of having big leads. They don't have a lot of bad losses, and they have a lot of really good wins. So definitely a different state than last season where I think they knew they were probably in. Knew also that they were going to be barely out of that first four territory again, number 11 seed, making that Sweet 16 run.
Let's turn the page to the Iowa State women for a minute. Ashley Jones, the Big 12 Player of the Year, and that's that's no small feat. But we do know Jones from Iowa City and has had a terrific career, maybe rivaling Bridget Carlton, maybe surpassing her. I don't know. You can put it in perspective, but what has this young woman meant for the program?
Well, she had the extra COVID year, so maybe there's a little bit of an asterisk next to her records, but shattered the scoring record. She'd already done that last season before announcing she would come back with the extra year granted by the NCAA because of COVID-19. And now she's taking a big control of the rebounding record over Angie Welly, who also had the scoring record, free throw record. I mean, just all these records that, as Stanley rightly said, sure, there's a COVID year, but I mean, no one's going to come close to these. I think the best all around player they've had because, Bridget was great and had that little bit more of an it factor. Ashley Jones is the epitome of, she can grind. And she's had to, facing double and triple teams. Teams play very physical with her. She's learned to be physical in kind over time. But she gets beat up, as Stanley says, every season, and she still puts up the points. Her three-point numbers have improved, which looks very good to WNBA scouts. And, they wouldn't be anywhere near where they're at without Ashley Jones. I mean, again, a transformative player for the program, and they certainly hope they'll have several more games with her instead of just a couple, for sure.
Yeah, the air kind of went out of the balloon when Stephanie Soares went down, and she has expressed her desire to return. Do you think she will get that opportunity?
I would think so, but you never know when you're talking about the NCAA and waivers. You see them granting waivers, and you say, why did they grant that? And you see them declining waivers, and you said, why did they decline that? Not every case, but certainly some head scratchers in recent years. I think there's a lot of fluidity there too. I think if a WNBA team is super high on her and want to draft her, I mean, there are all kinds of options because it's a WNBA. You could stash her for a year and she can come back. I mean, just different than the NBA. So there are a lot of scenarios. But I was somewhat surprised that Coach Finley did say she has expressed a desire to come back, because you're undergoing an injury that severe. You know, you showed that you could do it at this level in the whatever 16 games that she played. So what more do you have to prove? I think that speaks compellingly of how Finley and his staff run the program, and that she feels like there are areas she could still grow, and there certainly are. But again, a lot of different things. If she gets drafted highly, you just maybe you jump. You know, because Finley himself said, I mean, she's really high draft pick. We're going to say, you know what, you probably ought to go. Going to put her self-interest ahead of the teams again, because knock on wood, it wouldn't happen for anybody, but gets hurt again if she comes back. I mean, a lot of things to weigh, but I think it is encouraging, certainly for the program, that she has stated that, hey, I'd like to come back, and we'll see where it goes from there. I could see it, a lot of factors in the coming weeks determining whether that will or will not happen.
All right, Rob, thank you so much for joining us here today. We enjoy reading your stuff at thegazette.com and in the Gazette, and we will look forward to talking to you down the road.
Sounds great. Great to join you guys.
Rob Gray joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, covers Iowa State sports, talking some basketball with him here on the program today. Iowa State women projected, latest bracketology from Charlie Cream, as a number 6 seed, likely playing in Columbus, Ohio, against the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, so they still have a nice core.
They do.
The Iowa State women, but losing a 6'6 player.
She was, she played, she was really good.
Yeah.
And she didn't have the best performance against Iowa in Iowa City, but when she played in some of those early games, she was playing some really good basketball. So it'll be interesting to see if she is indeed granted that ability to come back and play for Coach Finley. From Iowa State to high school hoops, we have Scott Unash on the line. We will get to him. And a little preview of the action in Des Moines today and tomorrow, and what we've already seen in Des Moines as well. We'll check in with Scott in 60 seconds. It's the Gym Class here on KGYM.
This is March Madness.
10 on the timer, 1 minute to play. Brooks on the right wing, looks up at the shot clock, twice between the legs, dribbles in on the angle, hook shot, got it! A wild circus hook shot goes for Brooks! Michigan up 4, 49 seconds to go.
The Wolverines went on to beat Tennessee last year to reach the Sweet 16. It was a tournament with more than a dozen memorable upsets. Hear Westwood One's exclusive coverage of this year's NCAA tournament right here.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Back at 3:47 on the Gym Class, brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on a Tuesday, March 7th of 2023. 319-366-1600 is the talk or text line. With you till top of the hour, Todd Brommelkamp show on the way between 4 and 6. I lied to you all. Scott Unash is not coming on to talk about high school basketball. He's coming on to talk about the Chiefs releasing Frank Clark.
Oh yeah.
Right, Scott. Frank Clark talk, right?
Oh, my heart aches. You know what? It's one of those cost-cutting moves that the Chiefs hate to do, but they're really good at over the years. They've picked bright times to kind of, hate to say, let guys go, but that's kind of the case. And had some guys step up last year on the outside, so I think they're going to go with a little younger group. And Frank did well. Won a couple world championships.
You got a busy night ahead, Scott, with a couple Metro teams in action that you will call on CRM Live Sports. Let's look at Marion and Sioux City Healing first.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. All these 3A games are going to be really good, the last three especially. Number one, Bondurant Farrar just stayed undefeated. They took care of Algona pretty well. But got Newton and North Polk, the 4-5, getting ready to go right now. And then it'll be Marion, the 3-6 against Elon. And Thielen's got a big 6'8 center who can go inside, he can flash to the basket, he can step out, and he can shoot threes. And Alex Mota is going to get the defensive assignment on him, so he's going to be giving up 6 inches. But the future Hawkeye football player is going to be giving him a little bit of athleticism to go against. It looks like.
Following that, Xavier in action, one of the favorites maybe, but Des Moines Hoover's got a really spectacular player. The Saints are going to have to deal with.
Yeah, Chase Henderson is, remember Courtney Henderson in our day, Mark, at Waterloo East, and he's now the head coach of Hoover, has been for a long time, and his son Chase is going to go to Montana next year. Really quick guard, can shoot the ball, can penetrate, plays really good defense. It's going to be interesting to see who the Saints are going to get the defensive assignment. I haven't talked to Coach Freeman yet, but will it be the All-State linebacker Thomas Sundell, or are they going to try one of the taller guys on Henderson? We'll have to wait and see. But Xavier, the number two seed, if they shoot the ball well, I think they're going to be in good shape. Tyler Nedelecki in the middle at 6'8 is kind of the X factor for this team. When he plays well, the Saints play really well. Obviously, this group has not been down here before, but they've got a good history, won two championships under Coach Ryan Lersman. And, of course, we know what Dick Breitbach did at Regis all those years. And we're hoping for a Marion Xavier semifinal. That would be a whole lot of fun. And I think Marion could be all right as far as their game against Elon is concerned, because they've been down here before. Brayson Lauby has been just on fire as of late. The Augustana recruit had 30-plus in the sub-state win. And we would love to see a Marion Xavier semifinal, but they both are going to have to work at it.
A lot of anticipation for tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Undefeated Cedar Rapids Kennedy, number one seed in 4A, opens against Pleasant Valley. What's in store there, do you think?
Well, PV, that was the one team that everyone was kind of wondering how they were going to adjust the shot clock, because Coach Hillman loves to play old-school defensive basketball, games in the 30s and 40s, and, well, they did it pretty well. They got to the state tournament. They're going to try to ugly it up. They will go into a half court. They will do their best not to let Kennedy run like they love to do, the number one scoring team in 4A. And I think Kennedy's going to be okay. You don't want to say, you know, it's going to be an easy win or anything like that. Pleasant Valley is certainly – got the athletes to hang with the Cougars. They were the champions of the MAC. But, you know, people are already looking forward to the semifinals of the two Waukees with Omaha Bilyeu and Price Sanford, and then Stinson, who's back for Valley, and then Kennedy's guards, and their 6'5 junior Schlake in the middle. So Final Four could be really good, but you got to get there first. And it's been a year of upsets, and hopefully we'll see those four teams get to the semifinals in 4A.
This year kind of reminds me of a year in the 80s when, I know, Regis and either Kennedy or Linmar and Central City were all in the mix for state titles representing Linn County. And you have that now with three Metro teams and North Linn. Which you were kind of wary of the first-round opponent in Madrid, but the Lynx took care of things.
They did, but, boy, that was Madrid's a good team, and they're going to be really good next year. They got three good scorers back. But, yeah, you're right. Jeff Johnson talked and wrote about it in the paper on Monday. Linn County lunacy, I think he called it. So – it's always good to have some good basketball around here. We do this year, and North Linn got everything off and running with a good, solid victory over Madrid yesterday. And they got a tough one against Remsen St. Mary's coming up on Wednesday night to get to the championship game. So we'll see. It's going to be a very, very interesting semifinal, and these two games coming up with Marion and Xavier are going to be very good, too, and going to be games that the tempo, I think, is going to dictate who wins these things.
We will see you at some point, right? Spencer wants to know.
I know. Spencer is the man.
You're good. You're good.
He is. He is. He's. I got a. You know. I got him something last year. I'll get him something this year.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
And worthwhile. Hey, you're helping me out, so I got to do that. And it will not be a Frank Clark jersey, though.
What's your schedule tonight? When do you go on the air?
5:15.
Okay.
5:15, and they're back to back. So we will we'll have them back to back, and then 1:45 tomorrow for Kennedy.
Very good, Scott. Enjoy the basketball. Bring home some wins. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys.
Scott Unesh joining us live from Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. State basketball.
One of his elements.
I forgot to turn your mic back up.
One of his elements. Yeah.
Yes. He is missing Bowling Night in America for the second week in a row.
Oh, we didn't even mention
that.
Three
straight weeks.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have it with the ice storm, and now 2 weeks without him. We'll get to that tomorrow. I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse too much here. We mentioned yesterday on the show Iowa baseball. First pitch coming up here in about 10 minutes. Looks like they are debuting some nice-looking uniforms. Black with the script yellow Iowa on it. I don't know if they're brand new, but they look pretty sharp as they take on your Cohawks.
Cohawks not in red. They'll be in white, right?
Game, probably, yeah. But Iowa baseball coming up here. 4:05 first pitch, midweek game, Iowa and Texas Tech. Considering the forecast, I got a notification about a winter storm watch, apparently, during the day Thursday into Friday morning. So, welcome back to winter. I'm sure the Hawkeyes are the baseball team. They're headed for Lubbock, Texas, so it's going to be nice and warm down there, I would assume. But Iowa baseball in action this afternoon. I saw Iowa State softball. We don't give them a ton of love here on any shows in Eastern Iowa. They have a tournament in Hawaii this weekend.
Oh.
Cyclone softball. Like, I mean, come on. Iowa, the Hawkeye softball team is, I think, playing in Florida somewhere. I was doing some research for later on in the week on Spencer on Sports, but Iowa State softball going to Hawaii. I mean, that's the dream. You know, I know it's a non-conference tournament. You're playing games. You want to win, but
that's a nice recruiting tool.
It is. It is. Yeah. Go out there, play some softball.
The Iowa softball team off to a decent start as well.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good start. They did not do well in Big Ten play last year, but I think they're hoping to have better. I know they're hoping to have better returns here in 2023. That is for sure. But Iowa baseball, good start for them too. One loss on the year. 9-1 ranked this year? So should be a good game today and games against Texas Tech this weekend as well. Tomorrow on the program, we are gonna. I'm not gonna put on a singlet. Nobody wants to see that. But Mark Ironside is gonna be here. And we're going to recap the Big Ten Wrestling Championships. Probably talk some Big 12 with him as well, but focus on the champions and the second place, third place, what have you. Get his thoughts on the finish for the Hawkeyes in Ann Arbor this past weekend. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. Latest headlines as the Big Ten tournament gets underway, so we'll have that for you coming up between 3 and 4. On the program tomorrow here at KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp show on the way. Plenty more for the sports world coming up between 4 and 6. He's got Rob Howe from Hawkeye Nation joining him at 4:30. And don't forget, we have two championship games, the CAA at 6, the West Coast Conference tonight at 8 from Westwood One Sports. Mark, have a great night.
Sounds great. Talk to you tomorrow.
Todd Brommelkamp show on the way next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 here on the Gym Class at KGYM.